Good morning and welcome to Henderson's First Baptist Church radio broadcast from Henderson, Kentucky. My name is Chuck Henderson and I serve as the executive pastor here at First Baptist, where we strive to make disciples who are Bible-centered. We seek to proclaim the gospel and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Our mission is to develop generations of God-glorifying disciples who, in turn, make disciples from the community to the continents. And whether that's in person at our church or over the radio waves, that is our goal. If you have any questions about God, salvation, or general information concerning the church, please connect with us through the internet at www.fbchenderson.org. That's www.fbchenderson.org. We would love to connect with you. But on behalf of the people at HFBC and our senior pastor, Sam Hinkson, we are so glad that you are joining us today. Here is our broadcast for today.
Children, Jesus has said to us, he says, come unto me. He says, come to all mothers and to all children, come unto me. Come all who are motherless and who long to have children. Come unto me all who long to be mothered. Come unto me all who are weary and labor and are heavy burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Stand with us as we sing of Christ our King.
Come praise and glorify our God, the Father of our Lord. In Christ he has in heavenly realms his blessings on us poured. For pure and blameless in his sight he destined us to be. We've been adopted through his Son eternally. To the praise, to the praise of your glory, to the praise of your mercy and grace, to the praise of your glory, you are the God who saves. Come praise and glorify our God, who gives his grace in Christ, in him. sins are washed away, redeemed through sacrifice. In Him God has made known to us the mystery of His will, that Christ should be the head of all His purpose to fulfill. And glorify our God, for we believe the word, and through our faith we have a seal, the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit guarantees our hope until redemption's done, until we join in endless praise to God the Three in One.
The Psalm of David says this: O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord for this time forth and forevermore. We honor and we praise the King who commands all the hosts of heaven. As we sing this together, will you lift your voices?
Who else commands all the hosts of heaven? Who else can make every king bow down? Who else can whisper and darkness trembles? Only a holy God. What other beauty demands such praises? What other splendor outshines the sun? What other majesty rules with justice? Only a holy God.
Sing, come and behold Him.
Come and behold the one and the only. Cry out, sing holy, forever a holy God. Come and worship the holy God. Beauty consumes like fire. What other power can raise the dead? What other name remains undefeated? Only a holy God.
Come behold.
Come behold. The holy God.
come and behold.
Come and behold the one, the only. Cry out, sing holy, forever a holy God. Come and worship the holy God. Who else could rescue me from my failure? Who else would offer his only son? Who else invites me to call him Father? Only a holy God.
We give back to what the Lord has so graciously given to us. I'm going to invite my brother Jody to come and lead us in a blessing upon the offerings and tithes we're about to receive as we honor him through our giving.
Church, would you bow with me and pray? Father, we're just so grateful for all the many blessings that you give us each and every day. We thank you, Lord, for providing everything that we need. God, I just pray a special blessings today on mothers. We're so grateful for them. I pray for those that no longer have their mothers with them today, that you would just comfort them and give them peace today. And Lord, I just pray and ask you to bless these tithes and offerings and use them to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated.
Gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace.
This I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can see all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ. is dark, but I am not forsaken. For by my side, the Savior, he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need, his power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley, he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Church, I invite you to stand as we sing of the faith that we no longer have to dread.
No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid.
For Jesus bled.
Jesus bled and suffered for my part. And he was raised to overthrow the righteous. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are loosed, I can see. I am free, and not but through Christ in me.
Shine forth, that you would increase and we would decrease. For we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you, church. You can be seated.
Well, good morning again. It is good always to be with you and to be reminded of the grace in which we stand, and how that it is not us, it is not our worth and our worthiness that gives us confidence, but it is Jesus. and his imputed righteousness to us. With that in mind, I want to ask you and invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10. We're going to be just taking a very special passage this morning and looking at this on this Mother's Day in 2023. Matthew chapter 10, we'll be starting in verse 16. If you want to follow in one of our pew Bibles, you'll turn to page number 815. Now, as you're turning there, I'll just kind of set up the situation that we're about to read. Jesus has called 12 disciples, 12 apostles by name, and these are going to be special guys that he's going to send out. And what we're reading here is him just about to send them out on what is kind of like a mini mission trip. It's in fact maybe one of the first mission trips of the kingdom proclamation. And Jesus is seeking throughout this entire chapter, and we're just going to look at a little excerpt of it. Jesus is seeking to prepare them for what they are going to face, and it's not going to be easy. If you just read the entire chapter of verse 10, I would commend it for your reading. You'll find that he's preparing them for persecution. He's preparing them for pushback. He's preparing them for hardship. And so with that in mind, Matthew chapter 10, starting with verse 16. "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brothers will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next, for truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So, have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." And all God's people said, "Happy Mother's Day," right? You're like, what in the world? Why are we looking at this passage on Mother's Day? And it's something that I want to impress upon you, not just moms, all right? You're kind of the center of the bullseye this morning. It's really applicable to all of us here this morning. But it has helped to frame the call of motherhood in this area of spiritual warfare and pushing forward the kingdom of God. Spiritual warfare begins, moms and dads and church of God, it begins at home. Verses 21, and we didn't read 35, but both talk about family strife. That Jesus would come into the world and it would create strife within the family. In fact, that would be the first place where you would begin to see the division between those who love the Lord and those who do not. Brother against brother, parents versus children. And in verse 36, we are told, Jesus says, a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Now, for many of us here today, our first response to this declaration by Jesus Christ ought to be thanks to God, right? Thank you, Lord, for the peace in my household. Thank you for the peace that many of us, perhaps most of us, enjoy inside our homes. Most of the people that we have the pleasure and privilege of baptizing here in our church, most of them are young people who are at home. They're young people who have been brought up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and through that common grace, the Lord has given them an opening of their heart and they have come to faith in Christ. Yet, many of us, and this needs to be understood this morning, have household enemies for the sake of Christ. Many of us have those who we don't see eye to eye with, and those are people very, very close to us. But the larger point of contact for us today is that Jesus is sending out his disciples into the world, and he describes it this way. He said, this is what it looks like, what I'm doing for you. Look in verse 16. I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Isn't that interesting? A shepherd sending sheep out into the midst of wolves. That is a strange picture indeed. Most of us say, that's not a very good shepherd. That's not what you are supposed to do. Why would any shepherd send sheep into the midst of wolves? Well, in the context of him sending them out to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, it is because worldly wolves need to hear the gospel. The world full of wolves needs this gospel to be transformed into sheep. And so he's saying, listen, you need to be wise as serpent and innocent as doves. What does he mean by that? He means you need to understand the kind of world and situation that you are being sent into. Moms and dads, we are not sending sheep into the midst of sheep. That is not what your mission in life is. That's not what this church is doing, raising up sheep to send them out into the midst of sheep. So you need to be wise like a serpent. You need to be shrewd because you are going into the midst of wolves. But at the same time, you need to be innocent as doves because you know what we're not doing? We're not raising wolves to go out into a world of wolves. We're not going saying, listen, you got to dog eat dog. You've got to be ready to go out there and kill and eat just like everybody else does. No, we are not raising wolves to be sent out in the midst of wolves. The mission statement of our church says we exist to glorify God by making generations of disciples. Not just one family of disciples, but generations of disciples. And that means a disciple who is ready to be sent out as sheep in the midst of wolves. When this is the reality, we need to have our head on a swivel. We need to understand what our calling is. Because unless you know where you're going and what your calling is, you're not going to be ready for it. If I tell you, hey, anyone want to go to the beach? Right? Ready to go to the beach? And, well, you know, what beach you go to is going to make a big difference on how you prepare. So I got the first picture here. Now, this is Laguna Beach. For those of you who have never been there, hey, pretty nice. The waves are good. It's beautiful. Sunny all the time. Terrific. If I say, hey, we're going to the beach. And for most of you, if I say, hey, we're going to the beach, that's what you think about. Get my sunscreen out. Get my swim trunks. I'm ready to go to the beach. But there are other beaches. Can I get the next picture? This is Omaha Beach. D-Day. 1944, we're just a couple of weeks from the 79th anniversary of this invasion. That is a battle zone. Are we preparing our children? Are we preparing the next generation of disciples to go to Laguna Beach or to go to Omaha Beach? Moms, I want you to understand this very clearly this morning. What Jesus is saying is our situation as followers of Christ is sheep in the midst of wolves. It is not a Laguna Beach life. It is an Omaha Beach calling that we have been called to. We're not preparing our kids to go to the fun zone. We are preparing them to go to the combat zone, spiritually speaking. So making disciples means getting them ready for this. Sheep in the midst of wolves, wise as serpents, innocent as doves. And with that in mind, we're going to look at motherhood as discipleship. All right, once again, these are broad principles that apply to every believer, but I'm just going to try to put a finer point on this Mother's Day for our mothers in particular. So the first thing, we want to see three things that Jesus is laying in front of us that it means for everybody, but then we'll make special application for mothers this morning. Motherhood as discipleship means, firstly, consistently seeking to honor God. Consistently seeking to honor God. Make Jesus the main thing in your life, believer. Follower of Christ. Verse 25 says, it is enough for the student to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more will the members of his household? A student isn't above his teacher. In other words, don't expect to have it easier than Jesus. He gives an intense example here. Or many, he's like, listen, the dragging into courts and beatings and even death. Now, once again, there is in this for us primarily a cause for thanksgiving to say, Lord God, you have been so gracious and merciful to us because historically those things, beatings and courts and so forth, have been relatively rare, right? Very, very rare that someone says, hey, deny Jesus or die, all right? That has happened, and it is even happening in the world today. But it's been relatively rare in life. So then you say, well, if that's relatively rare, what am I doing here, Sam? Well, we want to pass that test if it comes, amen? If we were called to deny Jesus or die, and we want to say, we want to think in our own hearts, we want to know somewhere deep down, like, we really love the Lord. We're not going to cave in at that moment. But there's a principle that you and I need to get our minds around here. If you fail in the small things, you can guarantee you're going to fail in the big things. Well, you say, well, what's the small thing? You know what it is? It's something very small, very simple, very everyday. Name calling. Name calling. He says, if they called the head of the house Beelzebub, just basically Satan. I've been called some names, right? Some of you have all been called names. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Most of us have never had someone come in. You know what? Satan? Devil? Right? Prince of darkness? We've never been called that, okay? As bad as we have been, we have probably not been called that. But Jesus was, he said, listen, they would even call me Satan. They call me the devil. And why the name calling? Why would they call him this? Well, it's because of his life and his teaching. And that's why he's saying, listen, don't be afraid when you're called into the courts and they ask you, like, what? Why are you living this way? Like, the Lord's going to give it to you. The Father's going to give you what you need to say to defend the life that the Lord has called you to live. That's why he's being called this name, because of how he is living in faithfulness to God. It's going to be given to you, Jesus says. But whatever the explanation that the Father moves you to give in that hour, it's going to be this way. It's going to revolve. It's going to revolve around Jesus Christ. It's going to revolve around who he is to you. Verse 22 says, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. In other words, in that moment, what Jesus is saying is that in that moment, whenever that name is called, whenever you're called to give an account for your life, you are going to think, you know what, this is uncomfortable, this doesn't feel good, but Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worth this. He is worth enduring this. He is who I am living for. You see, when the going gets tough in life, it focuses the mind on who and what we are living for. And when parenting gets tough, that's very clarifying as to who we are parenting for, right? If we are parenting for ourselves, then we will naturally expect beautiful and intelligent and well-mannered children, right? Because we want them to reflect well upon us. We want people to look and go, wow, man, you guys are awesome. Look at these awesome kids. Look at you. You're an awesome parent. We'll look good in the eyes of others around us. If I'm parenting for me, listen, I know we all want that, all right? But what I'm talking about, when it gets tough, when it gets hard, that's when it begins to focus the mind. Is this the thing I'm after? Is this what my life is focused on? Well, sometimes it gets clarified that way. Or maybe say, no, it's not about me. It's just about the kids. It's just all about the kids. If it is for your child, then you will indulge them to the point where you convince them that they can do little wrong and that the world really does revolve around them. And in neither of these cases do we expect difficulty or hardship, because success is the call of the day. So then you say, well, Sam, if I'm not parenting for me, ultimately, and I'm not parenting ultimately for my kids, right? That's not the primary driver of what I'm after in my parenting, then what should I be parenting for? Well, I think Jesus would say, you are parenting to be like him. That is part, like every other aspect of our lives, the purpose by which we seek faithfulness is to follow our teacher and to follow our master. Don't let the name calling dissuade you from being truthful and faithful. It is enough. He said, it's enough to be like your teacher. Is it a friend? Let me just ask you this. Brother, sister, let me just ask you for us to sit here and dwell on that a minute. Is it enough for you? You say, well, I want to be like Jesus, plus. No, there's no plus to that. It is enough, he says, to be like our Master. Jesus was often misunderstood. His acts of love were often misrepresented as being a hoax or counterfeit or a deception. Mom, what if being like your teacher requires you to tell your kid something that he doesn't want to hear? What if faithfulness and being like your Master means you have to communicate a hard truth to your daughter or your son that they are likely to reject, or to discipline them in some way that they claim as a result of that you don't love them, and then they run off and they find friends who will confirm them in their opinion that you are doing harm to them by the way that you are loving them? Can I tell you, if you are after yourself or you are after your child, you will fail that test. The only way that we will hold in faithfulness is to say, it is enough for me to be like my teacher. It is enough for me to be my Master. Sometimes the people calling us names, and I don't say this just cavalierly, sometimes the people calling us names are our kids. That's a hard thing to bear. And many people just refuse to bear it. This is not theoretical. We have testimonies of this in our own fellowship, in our own church. And Jesus says, for you, Mom, here this morning, for you, you're like, listen, Sam, that's, yes, absolutely. My kid doesn't have great names for me right now. And it's because of precisely what you're talking about. I had to tell the truth. And Jesus says to you, Mom, Dad, says, please hear this, and Lord, please apply it to our hearts. It's enough for you to be like me. It's enough for you to be like me. For Jesus to say, you know what, some of the people I tried to help said that I was hurting others too. And that awkward conversation, maybe you're on this side of that conversation. You haven't had that yet, but you're afraid to, right? What am I going to say? Don't be afraid of what you're going to say. He's like, listen, you get dragged into court and you don't know exactly how you're going to express it. It's not like you've never even thought about it before. Of course you have, but it's like you're just afraid in that moment. Are my words going to fail me? Mom, Dad, don't be afraid. It's enough for you to be like Jesus Christ. It's enough for you to seek Him in that conversation and to say, listen, the Lord's going to give me the words. I'm going to think it through. I'm going to pray it through, but there's still going to be this anxiety. Am I going to have the words to say? Don't be afraid. True Christian motherhood is not a popularity contest. You mother for an audience of one, and that one is Jesus Christ. So consistently seek to honor God. The second thing is motherhood is discipleship means clearly communicating the gospel. Clearly communicating the gospel. Now, I'm going to have to kind of build this a little bit, just as a broad principle of what Jesus is saying, and then I'll just kind of make a bridge here into motherhood. Verses 26 and 27 says, So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. He says, proclaim it. And this word that he uses for proclaim is a word that is often used for preaching the gospel. Right? That's what Jesus is sending the 12 out to do. Proclaim the good news. Tell them about the kingdom of God that is coming into the world. And the context, what is the context of this proclamation going out into the world? It is that everything's coming out, folks. World, listen, everything is coming out. And this is such a profound truth for us. We live in a world filled with covered up and hidden things. Filled to the brim with covered up and hidden things. In fact, it may be true that there are more things hidden than are actually seen in this world. And why? Why would there be so many things hidden and covered up? Well, It's the reason why we cover and hide anything. It's because it's ugly. It's not flattering. It's sinful. It says something bad about us. It's not the Instagram me. Amen? It's not the Facebook me, right? Think about all the stuff you don't put on Facebook, right? And please, don't put that on Facebook or Instagram. But what Jesus is saying is like, listen, there is a revelation coming of all the things that have been hidden. To be human is to have something to hide. Every one of us has something to hide. And yet God has made the moral shape of the universe such that nothing actually remains hidden. We fail. We don't succeed in hiding. Everything is revealed. That's what he's saying here. And yet, but think about this. Jesus says, everything's going to come out. And yet, he says this so that we will what? Have no fear. Okay, Sam, I don't know how that even works. Because this revelation makes me afraid. Well, actually, it's not just having no fear in general. It's like no fear of men. Verse 28, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, that is men. So what he's trying to say is like we are governed, this hidingness, right, this dynamic of I got this stuff to hide, I'm trying to keep other people out of it and away from it, from seeing it, so that I can manage the image that I present to the world, it makes me afraid. It makes me afraid of what you're going to see. It makes me afraid of what you are going to say. Have no fear of those who can just kill your body, but they can't do anything about what you really are, your soul that's going to live forever. But then he says, rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And you say, well, that's great, Sam. I don't see how that helps me because I'm out of the frying pan and into the fire. How is this good news? The pending revelation of all my secrets and a God who has the power to judge. How is that a recipe for proclamation? How is that a recipe for boldness and a lack of fear? But I want you to notice this parallel dynamic. So you got verse 26, we say, hey, everything's going to come out. And then in 27, he says this, all right? What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. So he's saying it's not just the bad things that are secret and that are coming out or the things that have been whispered and that are not coming out into the wider world. There are dark and whispered things from Jesus that are to be shouted on the rooftops. So then what is that hidden thing that is coming out? What is it? It's him. It's who he is. It's what he means to us. The opposition is experienced for whose sake? His sake. Who do we have to love more than anyone else? Him. Why? Because he's the one who took our shame. He's the one who took our ugliness and our sin. And he carried it in his body to the place of judgment. And here is like kind of the psychological or the emotional sort of response to this exchange of Christ for us, okay, is that he carried our ugliness, the things we try to hide and keep away from other people, he carried it in his body to the place of judgment, and he experienced there, like on the cross, at the place of judgment, he experienced for us all the torment of those things being exposed. If I were just to ask you right now, hey man, just to give me your phone. I'm just going to kind of look and flip through all your texts and, you know, browsing history and all that kind of stuff, right? Most of us would have maybe a little bit of like, well, I don't know. You start thinking, is there something in there? I don't want, right? You know what? That little discomfort, you multiply that times a million, and that's what this revelation of everything, what you would experience, the shame, that is what Jesus bore for us on the cross. That experience of exposure, of being this sinner through and through. And yet, he gives us, in exchange for that which we gave him, that sin and that guilt and that ugliness and that hiddenness that he took upon himself, he gives to us the look of the Father who said, you're my beloved son. I'm well pleased in you. I don't see anything wrong. You're beautiful. man, I'm proud of you. And notice that Jesus is saying this is personal. He's like, I have told you who I am. I've told you these things in the dark. I've whispered these things. You go tell others. What we get together to do here as a church is we open God's Word and we try to explain this well to you so that you understand what God has said and what He has revealed. But what I'm at pains to continually remind you is this. Just a bare hearing and recitation of the facts of Scripture or of theology in and of itself, as profitable and good and godly as it is, if it is not accompanied by the quickening power of the Holy Spirit, it's dead. So Jesus is talking here not merely about, hey, you've got your notes, go out, repeat those to other people. He's saying, listen, I've told you these things in the dark. These things have been whispered. And he says, you've heard them from me. There's a lot of young people here today. Can I just say, guys, we're so glad you're here. And we're glad that you hear us proclaiming the Word of God to you week by week. Moms and dads who are reading those things with you and praying with you, we are glad you are hearing us and seeing us walk in the Lord. But please hear me. You need to be born again. You need to have that still small voice of the Holy Spirit who, Paul says, testifies with our spirit, I'm a child of God. Who opens your eyes to see, that is my Savior. It's a very personal word. No pastor can do it for you. No mom can do it for you. Nobody who loves you, though they may, they cannot do that for you. So I would encourage you, all the things that we say to you are good and necessary and vital, but they are insufficient if they are not married up with a redemptive, renewing, regenerative work of the Holy Spirit. So please, this is what Jesus is saying. You've heard it here private. You've heard it here personally. You've heard it from my own lips. You go out and proclaim that on the housetops, on the rooftops. Okay, that is this general call. That's what Jesus is talking about for us as disciples and followers of Christ. But then what does this have to do with moms? Mom, you are an evangelist. Man, you are one of the first evangelists that your children will ever see. And can I just tell you, ladies, your life is communicating something about how you think people get to God. You can say, well, no, you don't have an option. Your life is communicating something. You are giving a message to your kid about how people get to God. And the question is, what is it? Are you gripped by this great revelation, this great uncovering? You see, if you understand, listen, this nothing is hidden that will not be revealed. I know that. And I've done my business with Christ. I know who I am in Him. So I'm not afraid of that anymore. And I'm not afraid of men anymore. Mom, is that you? You need to be animated by this understanding and this reality. And what this is going to practically work out in your life, okay? What this is practically going to mean is an open and honest, a more open and honest communication between you and your kids. I would ask this rhetorical question, is there anything in your past that you would not want your kids to know? And we would all say yes, of course. There are things. Now, what I am not advocating for is just gory disclosure of every little lurid detail, all right? I'm not talking about that. But what I am encouraging you, all of us, don't present yourself to your kids as something you are not. If the theme of the story of you that you tell your children is, why can't kids be perfect like I was? And I know we laugh at that, but trust me, If we were to kind of peel open our kids and their understanding of the message that they get from us, sometimes that's the message they get. I'm always blowing it. Mama, why do you do this? You drive me crazy. And I understand, the kids can drive us crazy. But that cannot be the message of our life. Why can't kids today be perfect like I was? Because here's the thing. If that is the message of your life, you know what you're going to do? You're going to lie. Because it's not true. You weren't perfect. You're going to lie. But if the theme of your story is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, then you will say with Paul, by the grace of God, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me, my son, His grace toward me, my daughter, was not in vain. Is Jesus the hero of your story? You remember the lady at the well, the Samaritan woman that Jesus met, and when she goes back to the town to tell them, hey, you got to come see her. You remember what she says? She says, come and meet the man who told me everything I ever did. Come talk to the guy who told me. I was laid bare in front of this man. In other words, my sins has already been exposed before God, and I have found grace in His presence. So then what can man do to me? What can he do to me? And that gives you enormous courage. It gives you enormous boldness. And you know, boldness comes from proper fear. If I have your neighbor's like angry little house cat that's like scratchy and almost you're like, man, I think this thing might have rabies or something, right? It's natural for you to go, well, I'm a little afraid of that thing. But if on the other side there's a massive ravenous lion, you know what you're going to do? You don't care about that cat anymore. Because you got bigger fish to fry. If you have been in the presence of Almighty God, then you know what? The little kitty cats of the world are not so hard to deal with. Our kids need mothers who know what it is to come into the presence of the greatest power in heaven and on earth, the Lion of Judah, and find grace. And that's going to make you bold, Mom. It's going to make you courageous to be honest, to tell the truth, and to point your kids to Christ. Motherhood, finally, and this I'll just kind of briefly touch upon. As discipleship means completely trusting in God's character. As I've said, your kids need a mother who is fearless, but that's a tall order. Because, man, it's fearsome. And then Jesus says, and Jesus knows, like all of this that He is like telling them to do, this is a big calling for those guys. The following of Jesus Christ is a big calling for us, and this is the tenderness of it. He says, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. There's that saying that the devil's in the details, right? And you know, what does that mean? It means that maybe I've overlooked something. Maybe there's some little detail that I just, that's the thing that's going to come back and bite me. I didn't see it, I didn't expect it, and it's going to come back in the end, and it's going to ruin me. And that is a recipe for fear, the devil being in the details. And you say, Sam, horrible Mother's Day message. Sheep being sent out into the midst of wolves. And you're telling me not to worry? You're telling me not to be afraid? That there's not going to be something that I forget, something that I overlook, something that I fail? Mom, Dad, church, it's not about us. It's about the Lord. Even the hairs of your head are all numbered. You see, we might overlook something, but God doesn't. He carefully watches over every detail of our life. Have you ever thought about it? He says, every hair on your head is numbered. You know, I think that one hair that comes out in the hairbrush, God's like, oh, that's hair 1,426. He's able to say that. He knows every single hair on your head, okay, is numbered. That is very obsessive compulsive to the world. It's very detailed. It's very minute. And so He's saying, listen, I don't want you to worry. I've got the details. Now, this doesn't mean that bad things won't happen. Motherhood sometimes means pain. Proverbs 17 says, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. That is true. There's no guarantee here about, well, everything's going to work out the way I want it to. Sparrows fall to the ground. They do. But God is in the midst of it. Church, please hear me. God is in the midst of it. He is sovereign over it. And it's not just this cold, kind of sterile sort of, hey, I'm in control. He wants you to know that. But he also says this. There's this incredible expression of sovereignty. Not a sparrow falls to the ground apart from the will of God. And yet in verse 31 he says, so don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. He comes back to a very personal and tender communication from Jesus Christ. He says, you know, you're worth more than many sparrows. That's an understatement, I would say. But the truth of the matter is, you and I standing on this side of the cross, boy, we know something that the 12 guys that were listening to this for the first time, they didn't know. When he says, you are worth more, they could have had very little clue as to what the price would ultimately be. What the price that God would place upon them would ultimately be. Spurgeon said this. He says, the Lord set such a value on his children that he gave his son, Jesus, to die rather than lose one of them. And Jesus himself chose to die on that cross so that none of his people should perish. Oh, the value and the preciousness of a child of God. Jesus doesn't say this so that you will expect to be spared all difficulty, anybody, but even mothers. But he wants to strengthen our confidence that even when those difficulties come, you will know, child of God, you have not been abandoned. And moms, that's the encouragement I want to leave with you. You have not been abandoned. Completely trust in the character of God. He is trustworthy in all that you do, in all that you say. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Your hairs are numbered. He's in charge of the sparrows. And you're worth more to Him. You're worth the life of His precious Son. Would you join me in prayer? Lord God, we come to you this morning, wanting to be found faithful to you. We have such a call, and it is a huge one. It is a big one. In the eyes of the world, motherhood is kind of this real sentimental thing, and they don't often look at it as being like as important and as valuable as it really is, or even as difficult spiritually as it really is. But Father, we know what we have been called to as followers of Christ. And I just want to pray for us as a church that you would help us to strengthen, fortify, encourage families, dads, moms, and that you would help us to disciple our children, to get them ready for the world that we are sending them out into. Lord, it is our calling. We are supposed to send them out. I pray that you would help us to be ready for that and that we would have no fear because we are in your presence and we have experienced your grace. So, Father, we ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen. I want to ask you, if you will, to stand with me. We're going to come to this time of just response and reflection, just thinking on what the Lord has given to us through the message this morning.
The preceding broadcast is a ministry and property of HFBC. Please feel free to share it with anyone, but please do not change, alter, or charge for it. If you have any questions about anything, please submit them by going to our website at www.fbchenderson.org and then click on the I'm New link on the homepage. And please join us next week right here on WSON as we continue sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to every tribe, people, and nation. May God's blessings be upon you from Henderson's First Baptist Church.